Chapter 2. Lucy left, Greeley's new secretary's stare following her as she limped down to the elevator. More than the front office staff watching her, she felt as if the entire building was judging. They all knew what she'd done 2 months ago. To them, she'd betrayed the unspoken code, putting her family's lives before the bureau. Something the administrators and agents who worked OPR would never understand. Or, if they ever had, they'd forgotten once they moved into their sterile office suites here on the top floor. To them, Lucy was an incalculable risk, a wild card. Family didn't fit into the FBI's Bible of operating procedures. This was why she loved working down in the bowels of the building, side by side with men and women who really understood their mission. It had nothing to do with whatever the current administration wrote up in fancy press releases, and everything to do with protecting and serving the innocent, any way they could. She forced herself to limp a little less, placing more pressure on the bad leg, and instead of stopping and waiting for the elevator, enduring their stares, she continued to the stairwell. Stairs were the bane of Lucy's new existence. Because of the damaged nerves, she could no longer tell when her foot was firmly planted on the ground, and so she had to look down, watching every step. Plus, it was difficult to maneuver the cane, so she usually ended up with more of her weight falling on her bad leg. But the world was built full of stairs, just as it was full of assholes like Carol, so Lucy grit through the pain and made her way down to the floor that housed her office, at least for the next 3 days. Her new ID got her through the locked doors that stood between the unsecured common areas and the wing where criminal activity, like analyzing illegal pornography in order to identify victims and perpetrators, occurred. Lucy glanced out at the once wide-open space now transformed into a cubicle farm. What the hell? Her question was answered by a barrage of pistol fire, Nerf pistols equipped with harmless foam bullets. Taylor popped up from behind one of the cubicle walls, his forever bedhead hair and blue eyes peeking over the top. "Hold fire," he shouted, giving a pretty good impression of the range master at Quantico. He stood up, forsaking the cover of the cubicle wall, and the pistol-wielding shooters turned their aim onto him. None of them had hit Lucy, but somehow they all nailed Taylor right in the face, which told Lucy a lot about the shooters. Her adorable analysts from the high-tech computer crime section. Geeks, and proud of it. They'd been even more proud when Taylor, one of their own, became a full-fledged special agent, gun and all. "Sorry, Lucy," Taylor said, dodging friendly fire as he skirted the cubicle maze to join her. "We're working on modeling a firefight where a fish and game officer was caught between border patrol and some traffickers. Guess we got a little carried away." "What's with the new decor?" She gestured to the cubicles. They made the space seem small and crowded, not at all conducive to the collaborative atmosphere she'd fostered. "SAC insisted. Said we were wasting too much time working together, so now we're each assigned a separate, private workspace. First thing he made me do when he put me in charge." He frowned at the memory and smiled impishly. "Of course, I told him each workstation would need to be fully equipped and got a 30% increase in my equipment budget." "Which you have spent wisely, I see." She nodded to the bright pink pistol dangling from his hand. Taylor, a 35-year-old whiz kid and certified genius, was irrepressible. Not even the new administration would be able to shackle his enthusiasm. "Where's Walden?" she asked, looking around the maze of cubicles for her second-in-command. "Waiting in your office." Taylor glanced over his shoulder and dropped his voice. "With a case." One of the techs called him away. Lucy made her way around the cubicles. When the squad had originally been established, the floor plans called for a large executive corner office, but no private conference area. An oversight she'd corrected by shoving her desk into the back corner to make room for a conference table and chairs. The two interior walls were glass, enabling her to see that seated around the table were Walden, as well as a man and woman with their backs to Lucy. Walden was a decade older than she, a solemn black man, but with a surprising sense of humor that showed itself at unexpected times. Good money that he was the one who outfitted the high-tech crimes guys with their pistols and ammo. She was lucky to have him as her second in command. Their strengths and weaknesses nicely complemented each other. In addition to the trio at the table, prowling the area around her desk was a 30-something man who would have been at home on the Steelers' offensive line. Oshiro. What was a U.S. deputy marshal from the Fugitive Apprehension Strike Team doing here? Before she made it to the door, Oshiro swung his shaved head her way, spotted her, and with a grace and speed that defied the laws of physics for such a large man, rushed out and had her in a crushing hug.
Sweet Lucy May, how are ya?
He raised her off her feet with the hug, but deposited her oh so gently back down so that only the slightest twinge of pain rang out from her foot. Little Timmy Oshiro. She couldn't help but smile. Oshiro had the reputation as one of the toughest, badass deputies the Marshal Service had ever produced. Even the hotshot Homeland Security guys moved out of his way when he came barreling down a hall. But he didn't intimidate her. She'd seen firsthand how gentle and kind he could be with her victims. That more than made up for any other shortcomings. How's the only federal agent in Western Pennsylvania who's been hauled in front of OPR more than I have? His grin would have scared little kids into eating their broccoli. Actually, I think you're one up on me there. He jerked his chin toward her leg. Guess they didn't charge you with treason like the rumors said. They tried. Tried to charge her with several offenses, mainly for the crime of surviving the attack on her and her family. To save her family, she'd been forced to give her FBI administrative password to her attacker. That security breach could have been disastrous for the DOJ, but thanks to Lucy escaping and Taylor's computer wizardry, they'd not only caught everyone involved, they'd been able to expose and repair a hidden security flaw in the DOJ computer system. Unfortunately, not before the man sent after Lucy had gone to Lucy's home and found her mother there. A few hours' difference, and the man would have found Megan home as well. That thought was what kept Lucy up at night, until she finally would drift to sleep, only to wake in terror, panicked that she hadn't reached her family in time, that she'd lost them all. Lucy glanced down at her foot. If you did the math, her ordeal translated to a win for the good guys, except Lucy had almost lost her leg, her daughter had been traumatized, and her mother had been killed. Oshiro gave her another hug, this one less effusive and more consoling. Sorry, heard about your mom. You doing okay? She nodded, then looked up to meet his gaze. Just want to get back to work. Of course, that was before I learned I don't have a job anymore. His smile returned, this time revealing his teeth. Some said Oshiro resembled a hyena. They were wrong. Mako's shark would be more like it. Once he was committed to something or someone, nothing can force him from his path. A lot like Lucy that way.
Wanna go out with a bang? I have the perfect case.